This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At 12:18, if the Redskins beat the Eagles then, if the Redskins lose to the Eagles then, we will fill in those blanks. At 1 o'clock, J.P. Finley is going to join us from NBC Sports Washington. It's time to go blitzing. We're going to get into the Caps because of the injuries in practice they've suffered, including Alex Ovechkin hobbling off, as Pete just told you. We'll get into the Wizards, who are 2-0 and playing in Denver tonight. Chris Miller will join us. But right now, let's kick off the blitz with the big Monday Night Football showdown in Philly. Skins, Eagles, NFC East on a national display. Slashy, give me something you think will go well tonight and something that you are very worried about tonight.
I would say I'm very terrified of Nick Rose in a big spot, and that could be even in the second quarter after the Redskins fail once again in the red zone, which we all know has happened far too often over the last year and a half, even though they were 3 of 4 there last week. I'm scared to death of him missing a chippy that is going to ultimately cost the Redskins tonight's game. One thing I'm pretty confident about, I think the Redskins can pick on the corners of the Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Mills, guys like that. Robinson's had a pretty good year. They're a slot guy. They've got pretty good safeties, but I think they can be had on an island. I would look for Josh Doctson to play a much more involved role. I would look for the receivers to be much more prolific tonight than they have been so far this year.
All right, Russell, for me, I've said this kind of throughout the show, mentioned this to Craig Hoffman about 30-plus minutes ago. I think this offense, talking about the Redskins, has to have their best performance of the season. I know they put up a bunch of yards against Oakland, but still 27 points. I think you got to score 30 or more to win this game tonight with how banged up their own defense is against a Philly offense that hasn't really scored less than 26 against anybody but Kansas City. I think they've got to have their best performance of the season tonight. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Because they're not going to be able to run the football. And I know, Danny, this is going to stun you, but this is one game that I'm pretty much advocating them to abandon the run quickly if it's not working, because the Eagles are giving up like 65 yards a game on the ground and like 3.78 per carry, which is ridiculous. So they're probably not going to be able to run the ball, which means, again, they're going to have to target those corners that we just talked about, and they're going to have to convert in the red zone, and they're going to have to convert on third down, and they're going to have to do all the little things and put up, as you said, probably 28 minimum. I would feel pretty comfortable at 31, somewhere in that range. But again, all those little things that we just talked about, they're going to have to be good at. They're going to have to pass protect better than they did in week one, where they allowed 4 sacks. Kirk is going to have to hold on to the football. Yeah, their controversial call at the end, but he also had a fumble lost on a sack early in the game by Brandon Graham. The offensive line is going to have to be, I mean, every part of the operation, they can't kill themselves by false start penalties and holding penalties and all that stuff. Absolutely.
Can they stop the run without Jonathan Allen?
I think they'll stop it the first 2.5, 3 quarters. I think as they get tired and I think as they get thinner, whether it be because more guys get banged up or because LeGarrette Blount is so good behind a really good offensive line with Peters and Lane Johnson and Kelsey coming back, I think they're going to struggle in the fourth quarter. Overall, they've been good this year, 88 per game, 4 even per carry. That's much better than in previous years, and Allen's a big part of that, but I think they struggle in tonight's fourth quarter.
Russell, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Thanks, Holes.
There he goes. Let's talk some puck, Tommy. Bringing up out Ben Raby, who knows his Washington Capitals. Ben, what's going on with back-to-backs in these Capitals? The second game, they've been outscored 1-3, numbers approximate.
Yeah, having a tough time with the 2-2. It's obviously common around the league. I will say this, fellas, though. The other night, hard to use that as an excuse playing 2 games in 2 nights because the 4-1 loss to the Florida Panthers came against the Florida Panthers team, which was also playing a good second game in as many nights. Some undisciplined play ultimately costing the Capitals. Florida converting on 2 of their 6 power play opportunities. Penalty trouble has been a theme this year for the Capitals, and it reared its ugly head again the other night. And as you pointed out, the second of back-to-backs, the other one coming against Florida.
Today, Alex Ovechkin hobbling off the ice, couple of injuries. It sounds like maybe something happened with Jacob Vrana as well. What do we know about those situations, and what can you tell us about trying to fix a couple of the woes on the offensive end of the ice?
Well, I can tell you Andrei Burakovsky did not participate in practice, did not take part due to an upper body injury, appeared to suffer the injury in the final moments the other night of Saturday's game. So no Burakovsky today. We'll wait to get an update from head coach Barry Trotz momentarily. Fortunately for the Capitals, they don't play again until Thursday, so a few days off here. You did reference there, though, Alex Ovechkin can confirm he did leave practice early today. Full disclosure, I did not see exactly what happened to him. It was during one-on-one drills in practice. He saw him leave the ice, left with the trainer, and went inside the locker room. He didn't stay down on the ice or anything like that, but he excused himself from practice and was helped off by the trainer. So, again, we'll wait for an update on Alex Ovechkin, who was not made available to the media following the practice today. But, yeah, look, fellas, the injuries, they've avoided them over the past few years. It was, in my opinion, a little bit of an underreported story. You always acknowledge injuries when they come in bunches and they hurt a team, but this organization, very fortunate the past few years, didn't deal with the injury bug a whole lot. It has been among the storylines so far this season.
Ben, I got to go Saturday. Thanks again to the Caps for the wonderful seats and tickets. The wife and I enjoyed the heck out of the game, despite the fact the Caps came in second. But really impressed with Juice. I really liked everything I saw from him. Really quick on the puck, very skilled, that very patient goal where he deked a couple guys, fired the shot back kind of short side. That to me was a bright spot. What's his ceiling this year? I long term, I think we all kind of agree he's going to be pretty good. But this year, how good can he be?
Well, it's a little baptism by fire here because of some of those injuries. Matt Niskanen on the back end, for example, Christian Juice getting his opportunity, 6-7 games into his NHL career. He's getting opportunity on both special teams units as well. The fun thing about Christian Juice, you pointed out, you know, the offensive upside, the goal he scored the other night. That's what you're going to get with Christian Juice. Maybe a little bit high risk, high reward at times. We saw him commit an early turnover Saturday night in the loss to Florida, more than made up for it with a highlight reel goal in the second period. But a guy who, you know, will continue to develop his defensive side of the game. But his upside, his biggest strength is what he's capable of doing with the puck.
Thank you, Ben.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
Let's talk hoops. Chris Miller of NBC Sports Washington joins us. 2-0 on the road tonight against Denver. Tell me about the Nuggets and the matchup, Chris.
Well, good to talk to you guys. You know, the Nuggets is a team that's 1-1 coming off a win the other night against Sacramento. A team that's got young guards. And I think the matchup tonight will be how Wall and Beal will go against, you know, Moutier, a guy who, you know, the Nuggets had a lot of promise in, and then all of a sudden he had his job kind of taken away from him. But I think Wall and Beal tonight could really assert themselves. But the one matchup I'm going to keep my eye on is Nikola Jokic against Marcin Gortat, the two big men. You know, Jokic just kind of struggled scoring the basketball early this year. He had 7 points in the first game, didn't score against the Kings, although he was active on the backboards and assisting the basketball. So this will be the third straight big man matchup that March is going to be in, where I think he's going to have the advantage in this one.
So I've really liked what I've seen from this first unit here at C-Mills, even with Kelly Oubre playing kind of extended minutes with it. I've liked how that looks, and I'm wondering how that's going to fold in when Markieff Morris comes back. But, man, again, it's the same story as last couple years, really, where there's a drop-off now when the bench comes in. Give me sort of the recipe for fixing. Is it more kind of mix-and-match minutes with starters like Otto Porter playing with the second unit more? Bradley Beal's done that at times. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when they went with that smaller unit last year, they incorporated John or Brad with that second unit to kind of keep the scoring up. But, you know, I think Scott Brooks is still trying to figure out this second unit. There has been a little bit of a dip there, but I think they're going to chalk it up as it's just these guys trying to learn each other still. It's real early in the year, but I don't think it's a cause for concern now. Now, if we're talking about this in December and January like we were last year, then that'll be cause for concern. But I don't think it's a real big issue right now.
Two games, two wins. What should Wizards fans be feeling best about right now?
I think they should be feeling good about what continuity really looks like in terms of their starting unit. When you're seeing Cleveland dealing with some injuries, you're seeing Boston obviously devastated with the Gordon Hayward injury, getting off to a good start with something this summer, guys, that I had talked about, because I believe that getting off to a good start puts pressure on those other two teams, because if the Wizards can maintain this type of, you know, energy on the floor where they're getting positive results while the other two teams are trying to figure it out, I think that bodes well for Washington moving into, you know, the latter part of the season.
And let's look at this road trip here coming up. Denver tonight, what else do we expect here as this club's away from home? This West Coast swing is so early, C-Mills. I'm used to it being in the dog days. I like it. Getting out of the way now.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I'm a big fan of this West Coast trip this early in the year. You know, it's a, you know, for even purposes of, like, building chemistry with the guys, getting away from home, you know, that us against the world mentality. I like that. Denver, tough game tonight. We're already looking ahead, though, if you looked at Martin Gortat's Twitter account about Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball and how John is going to just, you know, put the work in on the poor rookie. But, yeah, this is a good trip. I think if they come away with this one like 3-1, that would be a really good trip because we all know that the Golden State game will be a difficult one because, you know, obviously they're a little ticked off right now. They're not playing well, but that's really a hard place to play. But, you know, a positive road trip would be 3-1 coming back home.
C. Mills, thank you, pal. Good talking to you. Can't wait to chat with you regularly all season long.
You got it. Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks.
Check him out at NBC Sports Washington, one of the best in the biz. By the way, I don't say the name of Lonzo Ball's dad on this show. I've just made that stance a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
He stinks, and please stop interviewing him. I agree completely with what Michael Wilbon said when he said it's basically journalistic malpractice. He was making fun of his own company.
Yeah, it's catnip for journalists.
Stephen A. Smith interviewed him on the court after his debut.
Should never happen.
Please stop.
Please don't put him on television. Please stop putting the clown show on television.
Redskins win. Means what? Redskins loss tells us what? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.